Welcome this afternoon to Heartwarming Leadership Resources, the monthly mentoring resource designed to awaken, revitalize, and maximize your leadership within the business or church you serve. Good afternoon to all of you Heartwarming Leadership listeners. I'd like to speak to you today on the subject of attitudes, positive attitudes and negative attitudes. You know, William Sangster was born in London in 1900 and started attending a Methodist church at the age of 9. At 13, he became a Christian and immediately began sharing his faith with his friends. And after stints in the army and in college, he began pastoring a circuit of Methodist churches. During his first worship service, he announced to his stunned congregation that Britain and Germany were officially at war. And he quickly converted the church basement to an air raid shelter, and for 1,688 nights, Sangster ministered to the various needs of all the people. At the same time, he somehow managed to write and preach gripping sermons. He earned a PhD, and he led hundreds of men and women to Jesus Christ. He became known as Wesley's successor in London and was esteemed as the most beloved preacher of that particular era. It was after the war that Sangster headed Britain's Methodist Home Missions Department until he was diagnosed with a progressive form of muscular atrophy. And for 3 years, he slowly died. He became progressively more paralyzed and finally able only to move two fingers, but his attitude didn't falter. When he first learned of his illness, Sangster made 4 rules for himself. There are a lot of people that compose rules for living, but Sangster composed these 4 rules for dying. Number 1, I will never complain. Number 2, I will keep the home bright. Number 3, I will count my blessings. And number 4, I will try to turn it to gain. Those that were his contemporaries said that he did all these things, and thus the work of God was displayed in his life, and God's strength was made perfect in the weakness within his body. As a pastor, I've noted that over the years, everyone has different grief responses, especially to pain and suffering. Some people call those defense mechanisms or coping mechanisms. My father passed away about 1.5 years ago, and during the times of his progressive disease process, I never saw him go through the stages of grief as described by Dr. Kubler-Ross. He always seemed to be able to accept it and to accept it with such a positive attitude. I don't know about you, but I love being around people with a positive attitude, whether it's the ill or whether it's those in a meeting sitting next to you, whether it's those that are fellowshipping after a church service, or whether it's just general conversation around the cafeteria table. Wouldn't you agree with me that there's just something about being around positive, energetic, creative people that stimulates and spurs each of us on to be more capable than what we really are? On the other hand, I've been around negative people, people in church meetings, over lunch, at basketball games, or at the cafeteria table. I have learned that negative people just suck the life right out of me. In fact, as a leader, I'm not sure there's anything that stifles my thought, squelches my creativity, and demotivates me more than being around someone who's negative. We've all met those people, haven't we? People who regularly use phrases like, "It'll never work," or "I'm never going to be able to get that done," or, "You know, this is just too hard." And then there's my favorite. "There's just no way we can do it." You know, when we're around people like that, they drag us down with their incessant complaining and constant negativity. I want to challenge you today as a pastor or a leader to be very cognizant of the fact that your personal attitude can affect the attitude of others. If you want to generate a positive growth environment for those around you, let me suggest several characteristics of that environment. Number one, you always want to acknowledge the fact that there are others that are ahead of you. You know, it's a sad day when you discover that in every group you're in, you're at the top of the class. You're on the top of the mountain. Now, that may be good for your ego. It's certainly not healthy when it comes to your personal development and the development of those around you. A second positive growth characteristic is that you are still challenged. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, but you're challenged. My dear friend, if you're bored, it will show and you won't grow, and neither will those who are around you. The third characteristic of a positive growth environment is that your focus is forward. You're not looking in the rearview mirror. Now, there's nothing wrong with remembering the past, especially if it increases your confidence or it helps you to avoid repeating costly mistakes in the future. But growth is impossible if you think your best days are behind you. Let me encourage you to quit looking into the rearview mirror as you're attempting to move forward. The fourth characteristic of a positive growth leadership environment is an atmosphere that is affirming. My friends, understand that encouragement is a powerful, powerful motivator. It was Jim Burns who said, "For every critical comment we receive, it takes 9 affirming comments to even out the negative effect on one's life." It was the late Bishop Fulton Sheen who entered a greasy spoon restaurant for breakfast one day when the waitress, who was groggy and disinterested, took his order and he replied, "I want you to bring me some ham and eggs and a few kind words." So she returned about 15 minutes later, and when she set the food before him, she said, "There." "What about the kind words?" he said. And the server responded, "I'd advise you not to eat them eggs." The fifth and final characteristic of a positive attitude and positive growth environment that I want to mention today is failure is not feared. You know, as you listen to this podcast today, you may be hesitant to venture out of your comfort zone because you're afraid that you'll fall flat on your face if you reach out and take a risk. My friend, let me remind you of what Henry Ford once said. He said, "Failure is the only opportunity to begin again more intelligently." So as we close today, let me remind you that it's our positive attitude that not only affects ourselves, but affects those who are around us.